So now let us sit attentively as God speaks to us his word through his vessel, Elder William Liveman of our eternal amen treasures in Christ. Elder William Liveman, let's receive him with a heart. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the magnificent, everlasting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who you have magnified, oh God, and given us information today that was hidden in times past. And we thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love that you have for us as members in the glorious body, the body of Christ. And Father, we ask that you would, oh God, let everything that's not like Christ put aside, Father. We're only here to magnify Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Let everything, let every word say, be edified to the body of Christ. So Father, we ask that you would bless your people, Father, here in our local assembly, throughout the nation, throughout the world, because you bless this medium, the tape and web ministry, to cover the globe. We thank you, Lord. Bless the word of God today, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank God for everyone here. Everyone, even those that may be on their way. We're going to go directly in the word of God. And we have several scriptures. I pray that you brought your Bibles today, because we are going to hide behind the word. We're not going to hide behind a man, a woman, a bishop. We're going to hide behind the word of God, church. Because when the man, the woman, the bishop leave the time capsule, the word of God is still here. So that's where our stability lies, and that's where we'll move forward. Now, at this time, we're going to focus on three scriptures. And before Deacon Gavin read the scripture, you know, many times when something is read, whether it's a document or a passage, sometimes the Lord just breathed light. And y'all bear with me, because I'm going to read. Amen. When the pastor's pen was read last week, it was like, whoa, it was some things that I said, oh, I need to read. So we're going to read the pastor's pen. You know, you all know my wife. See, the Lord uses everyone, all of us, differently. But that's the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. God is not as, yeah, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's a unique God. He uses everyone differently according to his will, plan, and purpose.
Amen.
But I'm going to read the pastor's pen today from last week.
All right.
Because it was kind of, it's correlated to some things that we're going to cover. And one word I want you to think about, church, today is the word discombobulate. I want you to think about this now. Somebody said, Elder, what kind is that word from another planet? No, that's a big word. A word is only big. Once you learn it, it's not a big word anymore.
Right.
See? Everything is what we call different until you learn it. Y'all know, just come on, let's take this in the physical arena. You know, some of y'all, when you were in high school, you entered that math class, you say, I'll never get over this. But what happened? Through repetition, as the teacher continued to teach the methodology of that course, when the year was up, you said, wow, it wasn't that bad. But the first few days in school, you felt that you were going to faint.
Hallelujah.
Same thing. So the word discombobulate really means confusion, a state of confusion. It means a state of uncertainty. And I'm just going to give you an example of this word in terms of confusion. Let's listen to this example here, because it's going to relate to what, before we go into move into the scripture. Many of God's people are discombobulated because they do not divide the Bible according to dispensation and covenant. So what? They're confused. I'm going to go slow today, because number one, church, it is critical that you learn by the medium of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. But we, as members in the body of Christ, you must learn to divide this Bible according to the directives of today's dispensation, which is grace. And if you teach for doctrine any other time frame apart from grace, guarantee you'll be confused. So that's one thing I want you to just remember. Also, in our covenant, the grace covenant, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to tell you, if you, because most of God's people walk by sight, you ask the average member in the body of Christ, if God could flicker, let's say the few people we must have, what, 10 people, 15 people here right now? Because it's nothing happened here. But just for your information, with the medium of the website, in fact, for your information, go to www.gracegospelministry.com, that the Lord bless Deacon Henderson. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he gave Deacon Henderson this message today. When I sit down at 4 o'clock today, I'm sorry, I don't mean 4, I meant 1 o'clock, a little before 1, that this message literally covers Africa, the Philippines, Pakistan. It literally covers the globe. So God has always done big things in small places. Why? Because through that process, the Lord receives all the praise, honor, and glory. Let's go right into the scripture. I trust you have your Bible. We're going to open three scriptures. Deacon Gavin, you are reading. I want you to go to move, before we go move into the document, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Then Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. I repeat. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Galatians 2, verses 1 through 7, and Philippians 1 and verse 10. Deacon Gavin, you can read 2:15 in the King James as well as Greek.
We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, first from the King James Version. Study.
Study, church. Study, study. Study what?
To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now from the interlinear Greek text. Be having been eager? Thyself approved to having presented to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cut it straight. You can move on to Galatians and you can just go ahead and read those in the King James 2, verse 1 through 7.
Now, Galatians chapter 2.
Hold on for less. Be 30 seconds. I still see something. You want everyone to see this? I still see a few pages. We want everyone to see the Word of God again. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7.
Galatians 2. Verses 1 through 7, King James Version. Paul writes, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, in making no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Yes.
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Gospel of the uncircumcision church. If you have a pen in parenthesis put the gospel of the uncircumcision in parenthesis put the body of Christ. If you have a pen in parenthesis put the body of Christ and the gospel of the circumcision, if you have a pen in parenthesis put Israel. There are two covenants here, church, and they're different. Body of Christ, the gospel of the uncircumcision, body of Christ, gospel of the circumcision, commonwealth of Israel. And if you do not draw a line of demarcation between these placement groups, you'll be confused. Now, let's go to Philippians, third scripture. Go over to Philippians. See, we hide behind the word today. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, they read that directed. I want to focus on that Greek word. Read the King James, and it's only one verse. Read the King James, and then read the Greek, and read with special attention to that word excellent.
Now, we're reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, first from the King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Philippians 1 and verse 10. For thee to prove you the things differing.
Different.
In order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
In day of Christ. Now, church, I know the if you analyze this word, the plethora of the Bibles, for they use the word excellent. That's when I say okay, but that's inaccurate in terms of the true meaning. Excellent is an okay word in general, but what does it really mean? The word in the Greek gives you a more accurate definition. That word in the Greek is different. Church, the covenants, Israel's covenant is different from the grace covenant. And the problem over the past 2,000 years, the body of Christ has treated them as one covenant.
Right.
And when you treat them as one covenant, on one account, you read an account where you'll be saved today and lost tomorrow because you're missing these covenants. That's interesting. I thought about this the other day. Think about this, church. Now, you all had these covenants. You read this Old Testament. You read the story of Noah over there in Genesis. Let's name some of these books. Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Haggai. If you read all these books in the Old Covenant, you would never read an account where Daniel disagrees with Isaiah or Jeremiah disagrees with Deuteronomy. In other words, they're all one covenant and they are consistent because it's one covenant, the Old Covenant. Let's move into the kingdom, kingdom law, those 13 books. You never read an account where Matthew disagrees with Luke or Peter disagrees with Jude. Why? One covenant. It's just kingdom, kingdom dispensation. But why is in today's age of grace, it's so much confusion about Christ. One account, Paul writes, Christ sent me not to baptize. And the other account you read over there where Jesus said, go and baptize. The body today, ministers, bishops, most churches are trying to reconcile two covenants in one, and you wonder why most of God's people are confused. Keep that in mind. We're going right into the pastor's pen. Church, the liberty of reading this word. Now again, it's an old saying, been there, done that. I've experienced an account where, well, whatever the Bible say, I'm going to start. I would get a little document first of the year, read the Bible through 1 year. Start out with Genesis. I read Genesis, and, you know, I love the story of God used Noah and Moses. Moses put that rod, you know the story. Moses put that rod in the Red Sea open. I love that. Or Noah, God said, Noah, go, you build an ark, and all the animals and pairs. I mean, I love that. But then, how mercy, I kept going, and when I got over Leviticus, I was confused. Why? Because, number one, is that some, as I continued to read, church, some of the things did not make sense. Because I was trying to go take information from another covenant and apply that to today. So keep that thought in mind. We're going to move directly into the pastor's pen that was read last week. And some of you today, refer back to that pen that was read last week here. And just bear with me. We're going to go right into some things, because these things are correlated directly with some of the things that we're going to cover today by the help of the Lord. Now, those who correctly minister and teach the word of God to the church in this age of grace must be held to certain qualified standards for dispensing the truth of the gospel. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's go there now. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Oh, have mercy. I'm excited. That's why I'm going so slow, because it's liberty, church, when you divide these messages. And sad to say, so many of God's people, they read the Bible. Talked to a brother the other day. My heart went out to the brother. He said, Liverman, I just read the Bible. I used to read the Bible. I don't read the Bible anymore. I said, why? He said, this doesn't make sense. He was sincere, but he was honest. You go over there and you read, and all of a sudden, you read an account where everybody's going to get healed today, and you go and pray for your uncle, and he checks out of here. You're confused. The Bible said, lay hands on the sick. Well, we'll get there. See what happens? Do not go into those other covenants for doctrine. Now, let's qualify that, because sometimes people hear what they want to hear. The whole Bible is true, and it's okay to read the whole Bible. But the point is this. I love the story how God used David. I love the story of David and Goliath. When I was a little kid, I love those stories. I love the story when Daniel in the lion's den. I love those stories. So we're not minimizing that information, church, but understand, when you move into those other covenants, it was for the recipients, the Israel, those covenants. The old covenant was directed toward Israel. But thank God, the directors of our covenant today, which God's speaking to us today as members in the body of Christ through the grace covenant. That is our curriculum today, the grace covenant. What we want to do now is go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read 6 through 11. Let's read all of that. Yeah, we'll read 6 through 11. And Deacon Gavin, you can read. Let's go ahead and read that in the King James, because we can do a little exegesis on this. So you can go ahead and move and just read that in the King James, because we can. There's a couple of Greek words we want to focus after you read that. All right?
Now we're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 11, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, mm-hmm. whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables,
mm-hmm.
and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Mm-hmm.
For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Mm-hmm.
These things command and teach.
Command and teach. What is Paul talking? Again, church, he's talking to Timothy. What is Paul saying here? First of all, he's telling Timothy the things that, in the verse here, these things teach and exhort. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not consent to sound words, to those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the teaching according to godliness, he is deprived of the truth. Let's move here. What about sound words, church? This phrase, sound words, is the Greek word eloyes, render sound words, is synonymous to sound teaching, cited in 1 Timothy 1:10, which is identified with the gospel entrusted to Paul. 2 Timothy 1:13 conveys this same phrase to depict the message which Timothy had heard from Paul, referencing 2 Timothy 4:3. Hence, the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words that Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church in today's age of grace, the grace dispensation. Sound words for this day, church. Have mercy. Paul cautions Timothy against those who teach other than these sound words. It is crystal clear that this message is what should be preached in the present church age. Paul's conveyance of this message to Timothy is, "And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men who shall be qualified to teach others also." Now notice, church, hence, the teaching which does not conform to Paul's gospel, to the mystery, the teaching that does not conform to the mystery for today's age of grace, is not sound teaching for today's dispensation. See, the point is this. The teaching that you have to be water baptized to be saved, that is sound teaching under another covenant, because that's the directives of that covenant. But it's not sound teaching for today's age of grace. And we're not saying the whole Bible is true, church. But sound teaching today's age of grace is what is relevant to this dispensation. Because if you move into another covenant, and you take a future covenant and try to apply that to today, then you will be totally confused. On one account, everything begins with salvation. What is salvation? Our eternal relationship with God. Now let's take sound teaching as it relates to salvation, because number one, whatever your cogitation is toward salvation, that same methodology of thinking will relate or refer to all other parts of your life. For example, you ask most of God's people, "Are you saved?" They say, "Bless God. Oh, yes, I'm saved." And you will receive a plethora of responses. Why are you saved? Well, again, depend upon the religious systems. And by the way, we're not here attacking religious systems, but we're just letting you tell you what does the Word of God say. You're going to hear a plethora of responses. And we've been there. Well, let me refer to myself. If someone asked me 25 years ago, "Livermore, are you saved?" Oh, absolutely. Why? Because Acts 2:38 tells me Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember at Morningstar Pentecostal Church in Washington, D.C., when I decided to go to church, and they put me, I was in a terror room, and one sister said, "Say Jesus, say it faster." And the other said, "Say it slower." I was confused, but I got a tongue. So that was my initiation. That, in my thinking, that's why I was saved. But that's going to bump heads, church. Hallelujah. Go over there. Ephesians. See, I'm thinking that I was saved because I spoke in tongues. Now, that's going to bump heads with a scripture that Deacon Gavin's going to read in a few seconds. You can go right ahead. Read one through four. Right. Deacon Gavin's reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, King James Version.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Mm-hmm. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies or in heavenly places in Christ, mm-hmm. according as he hath chosen us in him.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Have mercy. Church, here's the problem. The experience that I had at Morningstar Pentecostal Church in 1975, going through all the emotions, sweating, crying out to God, "I don't want to go to hell," knowing that the information in the grace covenant tells me, I've been through all of that, that I was saved the whole time. Before the foundation of the world. Before I was even born, before you were even born, you were already saved in eternity. In fact, you were saved before God created time. Because time is an entity of space. Before things appeared in the matrix, you were already saved. And whatever moved into that matrix, it was only there for God's eternal purpose. So what, in essence, the tongues, the shaking the preacher's hands, and the water baptism, and you saying a sinner's prayer, and you say, "Well, I use my faith." All of these things are only processes. You are not saved by processes. You are saved by purpose. He works Ephesians 3:11. Everything is according to God's eternal purpose. And if you understand that regarding salvation, you understand that as it relates to everything in life. You are healed according to purpose. You're not healed according to purpose. You love that wife. You've been married 50 years according to purpose. You got married and next day you divorced according to purpose. And when we say these things, someone say, "Well, are you against marriage?" Come on. My wife, we celebrated our 40-year anniversary a few months ago. The goal is stay together forever. That's the goal of grace. But you can say that is the goal of grace, is to stay together forever. But that goal is driven by purpose. And many times, you know, somebody say, "Oh, I'm going to be with this person forever." And 5 years, God breathes in that situation and calls a divorce. And then God, you would lead this person to another relationship. And there are kids in this other relationship. And what happens? Everything in that situation is according to purpose. And the preachers, because they haven't properly divided these covenants. When the woman It's a divorce. They're ready to send her to hell. And we're not, again, this is not a marriage counselor. Amen. I tell people, if you want information on marriage and everything, see the pastor, see the leader. But I'm just making a point. If you do not divide this Bible, you will be confused. Discombobulation will reign in your household because you're not dividing these covenants. So here, church, what we're saying here, not what we're saying, what the Word of God is saying here is this. Everything that happens in your life is not through the processes, it's through purpose. And many of God's people, they make summations based on processes. And so you'll be confused to know that processes are driven by purpose. Amen. But it begins with salvation. Read along in the document. Now again, we're just reading the document from last week. Essentially, the good minister teaches Paul's message and is aggressively involved in its advancement. It is exceedingly important to recognize that Jesus Christ conveyed two distinct messages, church. Y'all see? There are two distinct messages. What? They are distinct. Why? They are different. We just read that. We corroborated that in Philippians 1:10. Now, what's different about these messages? Again, Christ conveyed the first in manifesting his earthly ministry. It is recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, which pertains to his earthly kingdom relevancy to the Commonwealth of Israel. And you'll find references here in Matthew 4:17, 23:9-35. That was offered to and subsequently rejected by them. The kingdom gospel, church, was offered to Israel, but the nation by and large rejected, put on hold. Why? There's a hallelujah. God had a secret. God had a secret. He had a secret that David didn't know. He had a secret that the apostles didn't know. He had a secret that Daniel, Jeremiah, all the Old Testament prophets, he had a secret for you and I that was hidden in times past. It was hidden and it was revealed initially by one man, the Apostle Paul. Information that was unheard of in times past. And what was this information? The information that God was moved, ushering in a whole new dispensation, which is the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. The only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation.
I hear you.
Information, church, that was hidden in times past. You won't find the information. Read those covenants until you are fatigued, until you're so tired. You can read those, the Bible, for the next 10 years straight through. And you won't find this information. The information, the day we live in now, church, was hidden from all the Old Testament prophets. Well, somebody said, you act like we know more than David, Daniel, all of them. Absolutely. Because they had information that was revealed in those covenants. We have more information today. That's revealed in the grace covenant. So we mentioned that the kingdom gospel is for Israel. Now here's a beautiful news, church. Christ's second message, notice, you have kingdom, grace, was revealed to Paul as a mystery, as it distinguished after he ascended into heaven. This is the truth that constitutes today's gospel and should not be confused with Israel's gospel. Now, what's the gospel? It's good news. But people say, well, you talk as if Israel's gospel is not good news. Absolutely. It's good news, church. Is the gospel, the kingdom gospel, what did Jesus say? You know the story. Jesus came, baptized by John. Behold, the Son of Man is here. came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which was good news. But that good news of the gospel of the kingdom was based on an earthly covenant. The covenant that God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. And church, that covenant is on hold. The information in that covenant is on hold. Our day, the day's age of grace is revealed in this dispensation. The promise that God made to Abraham is on hold. Then Peter came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, process-wise, the preaching, in essence, was to get Israel to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But God caused them to reject the message, to usher in, everything's by purpose now, the rejection usher in today's age of grace, the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Now, the Grace Gospel Church ministry takes this message literally for what it teaches as present church age truth, which compares prioritizing Paul's epistles as the sole heart of relevant ministry curriculum. Church, our curriculum today is grace. If one is not thoroughly immersed in truth of Paul's 14 epistles, Romans to Hebrews, such is not adequately qualified to teach the message of the Grace Church. The Grace Gospel for the Grace Dispensation is the curriculum. And you know, again, in a curriculum, you have books that align with that curriculum. During my teaching years before I retired, let's take Detroit Public Schools had a curriculum. And in that curriculum, you have all the disciplines that had to be taught at that time, whether social studies, science, math. So, you know what I mean? The moment I received that curriculum, I was looking at science because that's my background, the science curriculum. But there were different books, church, in the curriculum. There was what, social studies, math, science. There were different books that were embedded in that curriculum. In the Grace curriculum, there are 14 books. Romans through Hebrews that are embedded in the Grace curriculum. These are the 14 books that are the directors of the Grace curriculum. But now when you throw some other books there, you say, let's throw Deuteronomy, let's throw Leviticus, let's throw the whole Bible, and you try to reconcile this in one curriculum, you will be discombobulated, you'll be confused. But when you separate, put lines of demarcation, seven lines of demarcation, seven dispensations, seven covenants, seven lines of demarcation, now you have separated the books because you separated the messages. Now you can read the Bible. It's fun, church. It's fun. Somebody said, are you excited? Am I excited to read the Bible? Moment I walked in Grace Gospel, I was a confused wreck trying to read the whole Bible. And I asked the Lord, you know, you hear people, you know, they say, well, the Lord spoke to me. See, amen, that's between them and God. But I did in prayer years ago. I said, Lord, why in the world do you let me go through years of all that confusion trying to read one curriculum? Trying to read one Genesis through Revelation, trying to reconcile one book. Lord, why do you allow all that confusion? And Lord, he didn't speak to me. He just, in my heart, he impressed me. So you can encourage others. And through the encouragement, I can tell you right now, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensation and covenants, you will be saved, but you will be confused.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let me show you a story in terms of this confusion. There was a story of a family that had a loved one. I was reading this the other day, a loved one in California. the daughter was stricken by cancer. She's in her 40s. So you know how it is. This evangelist came to town. They said, we're going to go to the prayer meeting. So they put, the daughter was almost dead. And they said, hey, listen, something happened in the infirmity. Pray. Amen. Wonderful. They had the daughter in a wheelchair. They had the prayer line, hundreds of people. So when the family in the front row, they whispered the situation to the pastor. Well, in this case, they're probably a healing evangelist. And here's what, sister, let me just make it sad, but it's true. It tells your church what can happen if you do not divide this Bible. So they mentioned the doctor had given her 2 weeks to live. Sister, you got your Bible? She said, yes. Go over there. I want you to read what, again, in this situation, said. Read Mark 16, 17, 18. This is what the healing, quote, evangelist told this family. Mark 16, 17, and 18.
We're reading from the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Mm-hmm. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Now, church, here's the response. This healing evangelist says, sister, what did you just read? So he told her, read it again. She read the scripture the deacon Gavin just read. Sister, your daughter, I agree with you, your daughter is healed. And she goes, tells the whole family that I attended this, again, what I did. I attended this prayer line, and the preacher said, my daughter is healed. She was so happy. And what happened? Jesus said it. You know, somebody said, well, it's in red. Jesus said it. Sad to say, in 1 week, the daughter died. And obviously, the family was disheartened. They were mad at God because they read the Bible say you'll be healed. And what happened, church? She died. That's the directive of the kingdom covenant. Healing. Now, let's move. What about today's age of grace? I'm going to give you two examples, and you'll see why, church, the messages must be divided according to the directives of that covenant. Dick, I want you to read. Go to, some of you may familiar with the story. Timothy had an ailment. He had an infirmity. And let's read. Let's see what. No, we're going to see two of God. We're going to read the account of two of God's servants. I want you to read an account of Timothy and an account of Epaphroditus. Now, notice these are the directives under the Grace Covenant Church, what we're about to read. We just read a directive under the kingdom. What happened? Lay hands there that the sick shall recover. What about our covenant? Please read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23.
Now we're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Mm-hmm. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities.
Notice, Paul directed to Timothy was to drink a little wine in terms of take no for your oft infirmities. Now, I read tons of different situations regarding here. Timothy probably some type of stomach ailment. It could have been an ulcer. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give light in terms of what was wrong. But we know he had an infirmity, church. Timothy had an infirmity. Will someone tell me, based upon Paul, the Apostle Paul, during the Jesus ministry, he was persecuting the Christians under the name of Saul. But here's the key, church. So even at that time, he knew some of the directives of the kingdom covenant. And one, you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover under that covenant. Now, here's the question. With someone, you ask the men of God's people, why didn't Paul lay hands on Timothy? Timothy, you're healed. Come on, y'all. I need somebody to help me out. Why didn't he do that? Well, somebody said that's the way it was. Well, let's go move on. Let's go to Philippians 2:27. Philippians 2:27, yes.
Now we're reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. Paul writes, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow."
Read it. Go up four verses. Go through 24 through 27, please. Mm-hmm.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 24. "But I trust in the Lord,
yes,
that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, mm-hmm, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Mm-hmm. For he longed after you, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick."
He had been sick, church. Paul's directives, he was going to send Timothy and Epaphroditus, but the servants of God, they were dealing with some physical ailments. Paul said he had been sick. Move on.
Verse 27, "For indeed he was sick."
He was sick.
"Nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow."
Church, it's clear to say, during Jesus' ministry, the Apostle Paul knew that Jesus went about healing, laying hands. Jesus, the 12 disciples, they lay hands on the sick and they recovered. In other words, that was the directive of the kingdom covenant. But we know today, church, we know you lay hands on everyone today. First of all, our covenant, it tells us to move away from the laying on the hands, because everything is already done. That we don't lay hands as an initiation to get God to move. God already moved in eternity. Everything is already complete. So we don't have to try to get God to do anything. Everything is already done. Because our life is complete. Hidden in God in Christ, our life is complete. Everything is already complete. And having said that, so the Apostle Paul knew about laying on the hands. Why didn't he do that? Simple, church. He knew it was a different covenant, a different dispensation. That is why, in fact, we mentioned this in Bible class Wednesday. Deacon Gavin started with the book, in the book of Galatians, where Paul was there at one time, and when you see the scriptures that Deacon Gavin read, where to Peter was committed the gospel of the kingdom, to Paul the gospel of the grace of God, what happened? A lot of people don't know when Paul wrote that he was sick. What happened? See, all the false teachers, between the time Paul initially left there and came back, the false brethren went in and they were giving them the kingdom information. And Paul had the grace. That's why you talked about how come you started out in the flesh, in the spirit. I'm sorry. You started out in the spirit and you made. How can you be made perfect by the flesh? What happened, church, is that they were missing the messages. And when Paul saw this total confusion, that was one of the directs of dividing this Bible to Peter, the gospel of the kingdom, to Paul the gospel of the grace of God, because he saw the results of missing those messages and the church of Galatia totally confused as a result of missing those messages. Total confused. Now, in essence, when you, and I'm close on this, and I was meditating on Timothy, this book of Timothy, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing how God is a creator of all things. Many times, the Lord will allow things to be in units of three. It's something about our brain that it's like a magnet. And things are in units of three. We can, man, you know, everything comes from God in terms of information. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. But it's amazing. I thought about the number three, Peter, James, John. Even the physical, you have the solar system, earth, the sun, moon, and stars. Three things I was written, looking, analyzing this book of Timothy. There were three main directives that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wanted Timothy to understand and comprehend. Three, you can say three sub-themes in the book of Timothy. One, Deacon Gavin just read it. One sub-theme, rightly divide the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the truth. One sub-theme. Second sub-theme is this. The things you heard from me, preach and teach these things and don't preach anything else. The second sub-theme. And the third sub-theme is this. Timothy, when you move forward and don't preach anything, there are the false teachers, they're going to come against you, Timothy. But the Holy Spirit, remember that I taught you these things. And that's why in this book, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Do not be afraid to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God, the things you heard from me. Final point. As we're moving forward, some of you, God's people, some of you are a little uncomfortable. Because when you're talking about buying the Bible and don't preach any other thing, some of you are a little fearful. But you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, and you, I don't mean you go and trying to convince people, because only the Holy Spirit can convince, not convince, but only the Holy Spirit is the teacher. But as you move forward in life, as you move forward in your church, as you move forward in everything that God puts in your path, ask the Lord, give me the courage, give me the strength and the courage and the power, Lord, to say, what is my cousin, my brother, my sister, my daughter, my employer, whoever I come in contact with, give me the strength to tell them the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.